Okay, so last time we started talking about the actual dating, more looking into the girl, and we said that's very important. And what to look for, and to ask, and to make inquiries, and to date, but obviously you have to meet the girl before you get married. But I hope we stressed that you should go out. I don't know if we did, so I'll say it now. People ask how long, so there's no set time. Now, I remember we discussed that about the eight. The minimum that Ravik said was eight times, but I'm not worried that anybody in this room is going to want to go out less than eight times before they get married. That I'm not worried about. But what I am worried about is there's a certain custom in certain Orthodox circles to go out with a girl for a year, year and a half, 2 years. You know, we're just, you know, she's my girlfriend, I'm her boyfriend. So that actually has status in halacha. The halacha calls that usur. So we don't do that. We go out with the girl long enough to get to know her, well enough to decide whether or not we can marry her. Right? Again, we'll never know until we're actually married for about a year or two whether she's for us. But we get a basic idea. Do we like her? Does she like us? Do we have similar backgrounds? Do we have similar hopes, aspirations, dreams? Do we religiously we're more or less on the same page. We want to live in the same continent. These are things that you checked out before. You like her, you're attracted to her, she likes you, you're handsome, you're charming, you're witty, you're intelligent, you're going to make a good living, you're going to live happily ever after. Okay, so that was as far as checking the girl out. You think they'll listen to me if I ask them to stop drilling outside? Please stop drilling outside. See if it works. So, in the meantime, it worked. So, that's that. But now I want to get to the actual date. Okay, so what a Jew does on a date. Now, before you do anything in life, you undertake in any project, you have to first state your objectives. What are your objectives? So you're about to meet a girl, and I basically broke it down to you have three objectives. What's the first one, obviously? Is she going to be my wife? You want to meet her to know if she is the girl you want to marry. It's very important. That's obviously the most basic that everyone could have thought of on their own. Not only is she good enough if she the girl that I want to marry, but is she the girl that I want to be the mother of my children? Remember, I said last week, it's not always the same. Some girls are fun to hang out with, but you wouldn't want them raising your children. Some girls, you would love them to raise your children, but as far as hanging out with them and spending time with them, they're not exactly what you might enjoy. So therefore you want both. You want her to be a wife and you also want her to be a mother. So that is the first thing that you're going to be focusing on when you're going out with her. The second thing is that this is a very, very delicate issue, and that is that it says in Chazal, really Rav Chaim Mivolozhin puts it best in the Hakdama to I think the Nefesh HaChaim. He says that Hashem created us in this world to do good for other people. That's why Hashem put us here. So that means when you're going out with a girl, whether or not you end up marrying her, you are here to give her a good time. To make her feel good, that she should feel comfortable for 2 hours. Girls are generally more insecure than boys are. And they're also sort of in a vulnerable position because, you know, you're the man, and you're physically larger, and you are, you know, more, let's say, men are generally more on the side of seichel, and women are more on the side of regesh, women are more emotional, so they often depend on a man for strength, they depend on a man for emotional strength, they depend on a man for shelter, to guard them, so the man is usually in a stronger position than the woman is, and therefore we have to be very careful with how we treat them. So our objective is, even if she's not our wife, this is very important, because the odds are, it's like the best baseball player in the Major League Baseball, right? He gets up there to bat, and so if you're a professional baseball player, you're getting up to bat, and what are the odds? You're going to get a hit or you're not going to get a hit? You're not going to get a hit. Let's say you're the best baseball player that ever lived. What was the highest batting average? Quick, baseball trivia. The highest batting average ever in Major League Baseball history.
I don't know, 10
Williams? How much did he hit? He hit over four?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, let's say the best ever got out 6 out of 10 times. The best player ever in Major League Baseball history got out 6 out of 10 times. The average player is getting out 75 out of 100 times. 75, 70, whatever it might be. So really, chances are, even though you're getting paid, you know, tens of millions of dollars, you're not going to get a hit. So it's the same thing in dating. If you're going out with a girl, chances are it's not going to be a hit. There's nothing you can do about it. It's not up to you to find a wife. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to find a wife. Your job is to meet a girl, and you hope she's the right one. If you get it on the first time, what do they say in baseball? Home run! That's terrific. But it's probably not going to happen. So therefore, your objective is to make sure that she feels good. Rav Chaim Vilajin said, Hashem put us in this world, to make other people feel good. That's why we're here. So therefore, you're spending the next 2 hours with her. She's a girl. She's in a vulnerable situation. She's going out with you. She's not sure of herself. She doesn't feel, she doesn't know. She doesn't know who's going to be. She's nervous. So make her feel good. Make her feel relaxed. The question is, how to do that? So, and then the third thing is, once you're already going out with her, you're already going out. You're already spending the next 2 hours with her. And we believe, even if it doesn't work out, we believe that Hashem wants you to be there. Because that's your shtadlus, that's your effort to get married. So you're already there. So make the most of it. You meet a new person. Learn something from them. You know, you can learn something from every person. What did David HaMelech say? Eizu chacham. Halo make me call her down. So you can learn something from her. Whatever you discuss, you know, the discussion, you know, after you get past the first five, that's how you know it's going to be a bad day. When you do get by the first 5 minutes is always easy. Because you ask, you know, what your family situation is, what her family situation is. And Baruch Hashem, in this generation, family situations are so complicated. You know, she has to tell about a stepfather here, a stepmother, and this, and they got the button, and then she got married to some. And now that's sure, and the stepsisters, and half-sisters, and half-brothers, and everybody goes through all the complicated family situation, and then after 5 minutes, you got through what everybody has, and now you try to really talk about something else, something that you have to be a little creative. You can't just say what is, but maybe what you're thinking, and what is going on in your life, whatever it might be. So after you get past that, you're already talking to her, so you might as well learn something from her. Okay, so those are the three objectives. So as far as finding a wife goes, so that's obvious, so she is, so you won. As far as number two goes, that's really what I want to talk about. So, number one, I heard this, I can't believe it, but I heard it's true, that people sometimes go out on dates, and they take a girl, and they start schlepping her around. They schlep her here, and they walk there, and they go this, and they go there, and they don't ask her if she's hungry, and they don't ask her if she's thirsty. And she doesn't want to say anything, because she's embarrassed, you know, and she doesn't, because a lot of times by saying, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, she might be implying that she wants you to pay for something for her, and she doesn't feel comfortable doing that. Or because she doesn't feel comfortable asking. You know the story of the kid who, I once heard this story from Chanoch Peller, maybe told in one of his books or something, so that one of his kids once went over to somebody's house, and they told him that he kept climbing onto the table to take a piece of cake. And then he'd climb again to take another piece of cake. And then finally the people said, you know, why do you keep taking? Why don't you just ask? So the kid said, my parents told me not to ask for anything. Get it? They didn't need to take. And then he shouldn't ask. Okay. So make sure that she's not hungry and she's not thirsty. Very important, especially if it's a hot summer day and you're walking around for an hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours, right? And also make sure that she's comfortable doing that. You know, in Israel it's more common. If a person's in yeshiva, most guys don't have cars. In America, usually people have cars, so it's not such a problem. So ask her if she's hungry, and ask her if she's thirsty, and ask her if she's tired, and if she wants to rest. And always, and you should make this your habit throughout your marriage, but especially when you're on a date, to always ask her constantly, not obviously obsessively, but, you know, consistently, if she's okay, if she's comfortable, if, you know, she's tired, maybe she's tired, you know, you're having the time of your life, you know, you really like this girl and it's 2:30 in the morning and you're really, really excited, but she has to be up, remember, she's not like you maybe, saying she gets up for minyan every morning, she's there on time, she's davening, she's serious, I know a guy like that, you know, he went to minyan, he's a good guy, but he was going out with a girl, Vasikin every day, so, you know, she's getting up Vasikin tomorrow morning, and she's tired. She was up for seeking this morning. You're tired. You take her home. And that's the end. So that's number one. To make sure that she's physically comfortable. Number two is money. So there's a question. Should I pay? Should we go 50-50? Should she pay? So the obvious answer is, you should pay. You should pay. You know why? Because a lot of people expect you to pay. And even if you're not, no halacha. It doesn't say anything like this in Shulchan Aruch. But this is my opinion. This is what they call in the Achronim, Nal'ad. You ever seen Nal'ad? Nirul Anius Daiti. It appears in my humble opinion. But I always think that if my opinion was so humble, I wouldn't express it publicly. So whatever it is, whatever the opinion is, it should be humble. A person should always be humble. Are you comfortable? You want to drink? Drink something. Drink. I haven't gotten a day in so long. Let's say she doesn't expect you to pay, but it's a chesed to pay. Instead of her having to pay, you're paying. And anyway, that's the rule of life after you get married. Anyway, you're always going to be the one paying. So now you're paying, you pay a few more dollars, what's the big deal? And if she says, no, I'll pay. She says, no, it's fine, it's my pleasure. You know, not a big deal for me, it makes me happy. Now, that doesn't mean there's some people, they have a silly minhag, they go out on a first date, and they go to a restaurant, you know, $150 a meal. Why do you have to go to a first date, $150? I'm not sure. I think that's a little bit wasteful. I think, in my humble opinion, you can take the same $100, you can go out on a date, and you can get a good, get a nice deli sandwich for both of you and a drink, and, you know, it'll cost you $15, and with the other $135, you can give it to a poor family in Jerusalem. I think there's better things to do with money. Even if you're wealthy, it doesn't matter. There's no reason to spend so much on a first date. But you go out with the girl, and wherever you go, if you're going in a cab, you pay. If you go to an amusement park, whatever it is, you go wherever you're going, you foot the bill, because I think that's the menschlich thing to do. Because again, mamanafshach, either sveik sveika, safek, oh, you're learning soup, it's great. Safek, maybe she's expecting you to pay, and if you don't pay, she's going to be offended. And then the other side is even if she's not offended, expecting you to pay, she's going to think you're a nice guy. It's going to make her feel good. You know, when somebody pays for you, it makes you feel good. It's like, I'm being taken care of. One thing about girls, remember this for the rest of your life, girls want to have the feeling that they are taken care of. And some of them will even tell you that explicitly. It's a good feeling to feel. We also want to feel we're taken care of. But being men, we also have a feeling that we feel that we want to take care of others. You know, we want to feel like we're strong and we're in charge. But a woman wants to have the feeling that she's being pampered, that she's being taken care of. So you pay, and if you can't afford it, so there's an old-fashioned Jewish custom, you borrow money. What did the Jews do in Europe? They didn't let the Jews do anything else. So many of the Jews were usurers. They used to lend money with interest. And a hashal not to other Jews. But the Goyim didn't let the Jews do anything else. So they were money lenders. And then they made that, obviously, fan the flames of anti-Semitism. Because they said, you rotten Jews, you're lending money with interest, you know, and then you borrow 100 and you end up borrowing 1,000, and they start hating the Jews for that. But they forced us to be that in the first place. But that's the story of our history. So how do we get onto that? Oh, money lending. Because Jews used to be more forced to be money lenders. So if you don't have enough money, then borrow. And again, you don't even have to go on a food date at all. You just go out somewhere. It doesn't have to cost you anything. And then he said a movie. Whenever I say movie, people always say Ushpizen. Because Ushpizen is supposed to be like the holy movie. So okay, so you take her. She's going to say to you, you're going to say, you want to go to a movie? Say, 1 second. I've spoken already to 9 girls you went out with, and they all saw Ushpizen. I want to tell you that I already saw Ushpizen. So then what are you going to do? So you can take her out, and then, again, if a man, as far as buying a drink goes, you have to get her a drink, or you have to get her something to eat if she's hungry. So that's it. Now something else is, and this really applies not only to girls, this applies to everything, everybody. It says in the Torah, Eila tolos Noah, Noach ish tzadik tamim me'abedo rosa. It says, this is the history of Noah. And then what should the pasuk have said? The sons, these are the toldos, these are the children of Noah, these are the descendants of Noah. It should have said, Shem Cham and Yafesh. What does it throw in there? Noah was an ish tzadik, tamim ayavido rosa. And then Hashem is going to, he was a tzadik, he was a tamim, he was a wonderful guy, Noah. And then it says, Hashem tells him to go into the teva, and he says, go to the teva, why? Who remembers the pasuk? Who's a Baal Kore? Where's Baal Kore isn't here. But because I see that you're a tzaddik. Why did Hashem have to tell him he's a tzaddik? Just say, go into the table, save your life. What's the answer?
His Rashi, he said that the first Torah, the Iker Torah, even more so than the generations to come after him, are the Masri.
Excellent. The Iker Torah, same as the Rashi answers in the first pasuk. But later on, it doesn't say Torah anymore. So from there, Rashi learns that you should praise somebody. I mean, Rashi says, don't say all their praises, because Rashi compares. First time it says a lot of tzaddik tam, ish tzaddik tamim. And here it just says tzaddik. So you shouldn't say all of his praises. But I learned from both psukim, I learned from my Rebbe, pointed out that when you have an opportunity to compliment somebody, do so. So it mentioned Noach's name? Ah, Noach! Isn't Noach a great guy? You ever talk about somebody, say, you know, you're about to tell a story, but isn't he a great guy? If you have an opportunity to compliment somebody, do so. And then when Hashem actually spoke to Noah, he also complimented him. So he just didn't compliment him with all of his compliments, with all of his praise, because you shouldn't say all of somebody's praises in front of him. But I am glad that you learned Rashi. So that means that when you're out with her, find a reason to compliment her. Make her feel good again. You might end up marrying. Whether or not you end up marrying her, I can't give a shir on that. If you like her, you marry her. It's beautiful. You know, that comes naturally. But what we do have to think about is that even if you're, whether or not you are going to, but you are spending the next couple hours, to make a person feel good, see what her good qualities are, and then point them out there. Because I still haven't met a person who doesn't enjoy a compliment. If it's well done and well placed, people feel good. People want to feel good about themselves. And then when somebody else confirms what they suspect about themselves, that, you know, maybe they're intelligent, or maybe they're fun to be with, or maybe they have a good sense of humor. So you should point that out, make that your business, that before you go out on a date, you say, I'm going to try to look for positive things in her, and see them, and also it accustoms you, it's good, it's called Ein Tova. It accustoms you to seeing the good in other people. Now, obviously, when you compliment her, it has to be b'tznius. I don't think that you should compliment her looks, because that's, I don't think, so modest, certainly not at the beginning. Once you're married, it's okay. You know, you're 86, she's 84, and you say, you're the most beautiful bubbly I've ever seen. Okay, so already when you're 86, 84, it's okay. It's also okay when you're married. But when you've gone on a first date with a girl and you already start talking about physical things, it's, I don't think it's appropriate for Yeshiva Bach or a Ben Torah. So you can avoid the subject of her looks, but definitely her personality or her intelligence, her character, her midos. You know, you can say, oh, you know, I heard such nice things about you. You know, I heard you do this. And wow, I'm so impressed. Da, 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 da. And that will be, and obviously it should be sincere. You don't have to fake it. By the way, to find a way to reason to compliment somebody, you don't have to ever have to make anything up. There's something to compliment about everybody. Everybody has something good about them. It's just a matter of looking for it. And then at the end of the night, it could be that you're going to see you're not for each other. But you did a chesed. You made a person feel good about themselves. Sometimes, I once heard about one of the gadol, he said about himself that when he was in yeshiva, somebody once complimented him, and he was able to learn 6 months from that compliment. That gave him such a push. For 6 months, he was able to learn. So you can say one thing to somebody, and it can stick with them. I remember somebody once said something to me that was very nice. He said it to me, how many years ago? 5, 6 years ago. And I still, every time I meet chizuk, I think back to that one little comment that he made to me, and that for me is chizuk. In other words, I don't necessarily think it was 100% true, but he thought it was true, so I'm always working towards that. So it's very important that she can, you know, go on in her life, and she ends up marrying somebody else, but she can continue feeling that way about herself. So you did a very important chesed. So you can find things to compliment about her, and if you also heard about her family, you know, I heard this about your mother, and I heard this about your father, and, you know, also you talk about her. That's also important. Recently I met a woman. Was it last week on my way home? It was last week on my way home from here, one of the 6 o'clock shiur. I don't remember if it was today, Tuesday or Wednesday, but I met a woman in the road who accosted me, and she said, I have a problem. I have a woman, and I need to find her a husband, and she's going back to America, and I have this whole list, and she started telling me how horrible her dates have been going. She went out with one guy, a very firm girl. She went out with one guy, and the whole date he talked about boxing. The whole date he talked about boxing. So when you go out with a girl, obviously, you have to have seichel. She generally doesn't want to talk about boxing. And I hope that you don't want to talk about boxing either. That's what I hope. So you don't have to talk about boxing. And you also don't have to talk about yourself the whole time. You don't have to tell her. And if this sounds obvious, then that's good. That's a good sign. You don't have to tell her about all your accomplishments and how wonderful a person you are and how many times you chazed Maseches Ksubis and about how, you know, you excel in this and you excel in that and you win this award and that award. It's always much nicer to talk about the other person. Talk about her, and from time to time also, you should tell about yourself also, because she wants to hear about you, because she wants to see if you're the right person. But in general, it's more polite, and it's more midistic to talk about the other person and take an interest in what she's doing in her life. And frankly, it's a lot more interesting anyway for you. I'll tell you why. Because you already know what's up with you. You already know what's up with your life. You can't learn anything by talking. We learn a lot more by listening. So you can ask her what she does, and you can learn from her. And in this way, she'll feel good, because you're taking an interest in her. And you'll learn something. And obviously that doesn't preclude that you should talk about yourself. A lot of times in relationships, in dating, there's a problem, one or two sides, that they feel that the other side isn't opening up. That's a thing that I hear again and again. She's not opening up, he's not opening up. So in order to have a serious relationship with a person, you have to open up. So what does that mean? So in the, so we've gone past the taking interest in her, but that also you should be revealing yourself. So what does it mean to reveal yourself? So I once heard an amusing story from a guy in yeshiva many years ago, and he was set up with a sister of one of the guys in yeshiva, and he told me, like, they go out on a date, and she really wanted to open up. So on the first date, she says, I go to my psychologist, and I'm so depressed, and she just started spilling her guts. Now, the first date is not the appropriate time to spill your guts, unless you're in the psychologist's office. The first date with a psychologist, spill your guts, get your money's worth. There's no reason holding it in until the eighth time. First time you're in there, go in, you know, my father beat me, I beat my mother, my sisters beat each other, we were all beat at the end of the day. It was a terrible home, cry a little bit, take out a tissue, you know, wash out the eyes, everything is good, and then the psychologist, Amir Tzeh Hashem, will help you. I'm sorry if I make jokes about dysfunctional families, but in order to deal with all the tzaras of, at least my own personal way of dealing with all these terrible sad stories I hear, is through humor, gives you a little bit of a different perspective. But it's sad, not Chas V'Shalom, making fun of dysfunctional families, because let's face it, we all come from dysfunctional families to a certain extent. It just depends how dysfunctional your family is, but I have still not met a family that was fully functional. I do know one boy who said he has a 100% perfect ideal relationship with his mother, but he doesn't really get along so well with his father. But I still haven't gotten it, it's any better also, that Baruch Hashem, but I still haven't met anybody who comes from a 100% completely functional, happy family where everything is Gishmak. Even I'm saying we have a precedent. We have Avraham Avinu. He was a great Yid. Avraham Avinu. You can't argue with Avraham Avinu. But he had a son. You know what I mean? Ishmael wasn't so Ishmael. And then we have Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Esau. I don't know if you can call Esau a tzaddik. Chazal don't see him such a tzaddik. And Yaakov. And even though his sons were, you know, we believe they were Shifteka and they were tzaddikim, but still they seem to have been a little bit going on over there with Yosef. I'm not exactly sure. Something about a pit and throwing him in and selling and all that stuff. Also, wasn't so. We see throughout history, it's not easy to raise great children. It's not easy to be perfect parents. And of course, I knew for a fact that when I got married, it's going to be different. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have children, and I'm cool, and I'm going to have the happiest home ever. I'm going to be the best father in history. And then my kids remind me from time to time that, you know, I leave something to be desired. You know what I mean? I'm not all I crack myself up to be. So you see, you try your best. You want to be the best possible father. It doesn't always work out. So we keep working at it, and we keep trying to perfect ourselves, but nobody's perfect. So we all come from families with problems, so I'm not making fun of anybody in particular. So you go to a psychologist, you want to open up. So this girl also, she wanted to open up, so she spilled all the beans on the first date. You don't spill all the beans on the first date. On the first date, you spill a bean or two. First day, you spill a bean or two. A little tiny bit. You don't even have to spill a bean. The first date, you can just to get her the feel of her. Then the second date, tiny, maybe a tiny bit. And then the third date, a little bit more. And the fourth, a little bit more. And you have to show who you are. You have to talk about your feelings, what you're thinking, you know, how you react, how you dealt with different situations in your life, your home. You have to go through that as the relationship progresses. And it's very important to not to hold back. Now, some boys are more expressive. Girls are usually a lot more expressive with their feelings than boys are. And, you know, we, a lot of times, we hold it in. And a lot of times, we're not even in touch with what we're feeling. So you should try to get in touch with that. Because to make a girl like you, and to make you like yourself, you know, to maximize your potential, you have to know what your feelings are, what triggers different emotions, you know, what makes you happy, what gets you depressed, why you react in certain situations the way you react. To really understand, know, what did Socrates say? Know thyself. Which I don't believe, because I don't believe Socrates knew a word of English, even Shakespearean English. Socrates never read Shakespeare. Okay, know thyself. That's what Socrates said. So you have to get to know yourself. And Josh doesn't like that joke. And throughout the, it wasn't funny. Throughout the dating experience, I think you learn a lot about yourself. So you should try, right? Just to, now that you're, you know, with the boys, it isn't cool. You know, it isn't cool to sit with a boy and say, you know, I'm feeling really low on myself these days. You know, my self-esteem is shot. You know, somebody said something to me the other day that hurt my feelings. But a girl can totally understand that. Because, again, she's a girl, and she's usually a lot more in touch with her emotions. And actually, it was once expressed to me by a girl. I was like, talking about, I said, with boys, I wanted to say, with boys, you know, it's not cool to express your emotions. But with girls, like, it's okay, you're allowed to. But the girl said, no. With girls, it's cool to express your emotions. That's it. Boys, it's not cool. With girls, it is cool. So therefore, if you meet a girl, you know, and you talk about the way you're feeling, then I think that's what she wants to hear. That's the only way you can connect to another human being. You can't connect to another human being. You know, people have these conversations. Hey, you know, you meet somebody on the street. Oh, hey, how you doing? Good. Oh, wow. See ya. What a meaningful conversation. And you had a really meaningful... Hey, how you doing? Great. See ya. So I'm not saying you should have a deep, meaningful conversation every time you meet somebody on the street. But I am saying that most of our conversations are extremely superficial. You know, after shul and kiddush, after shul, right, Shabbos morning, it's kiddush, and everyone's meeting and socializing, and just a lot of very empty, superficial conversations. And that's not the way to have a deep relationship. If you want to have a deep relationship with somebody, you have to reveal your deeper emotions, and they reveal their deeper emotions. And in that way, you connect on a deeper level and not just on a superficial level. And the more you open up yourself, the more she's going to open up and you're going to find out what she's about. But again, this should not all be done on the first date. This should be done as time progresses. And then before you go onto the chuppah, make sure she knows everything she has to know. And this is a very important point. If when you were in high school, you were fooling around with girls, I don't think she has to know that. Why does she have to know that? It's not going to make her feel any better. And it's not going to affect your marriage. If when you were in high school, you smoked marijuana, I don't think she has to know that either. Because it's not going to affect your marriage. And it's not going to make her like you anymore. You know, if you think that she'll respect you more because, you know, you're a reformed druggie, okay, either out, but, you know, you're in good company. You know, if you would have $50 million, you would be a professional athlete. Right? But unfortunately, you're just a reformed druggie without $50 million doesn't get you so far. If you think that she wouldn't mind, you can tell her, but there are a lot of things that we've done, a lot of silly things that we've done, that I don't think you have to tell. And I know people. I have a good friend. He was very promiscuous before he was married. I'm sure that his wife still doesn't know. And I know I'm not telling her either. Right? She doesn't know. And he did a lot. I don't know how much he told her. She knows he wasn't a complete savvy. But she doesn't know the extent of what he was up to. And she never has to know. Baruch Hashem. Today he's in Kolel. He's got a beard down to his belly button. He learns Yomim Valayla. They have beautiful children. And everybody's happy. She doesn't have to know about all the sins. So I don't think, some people think that in order to be honest, you have to tell all your sins. You don't have to tell all your sins. But in order to be honest, you do have to tell anything she needs to know in order to make this decision. Anything that's going to affect the marriage. So if, for example, a person's on medication, that's something that she has to know. Right? She's going to be married to a guy on medication. So that you have to tell. But you don't tell on the first date because then she's less likely to want to go out with you again. You tell her later on. And ultimately, you have to make sure that when you're standing under the chuppah, she knows all the information. And also, you don't have to, you know, the smaller things, you know, you don't have to all, at the end, you know, after she already fell in love with you, then all of a sudden you give her all the list of all your problems. I don't think that's such the right thing to do either. You can tell her little by little as time progresses, you know, you have this thing, you have that, and hopefully she'll tell you also. And you don't want to find it afterwards. That's the worst thing. Find it afterwards is the worst thing, and it's sheker, and it's not the way to do it. You'll tell her, you know, I had something in everybody, who doesn't have skeletons in their closet, right? I had a certain skeleton in my closet, and I was advised by someone close to me, he said, don't tell. Don't tell, it's not gonna make her, if she hears this, she's not gonna want to marry. But I thought, how can you go into the chuppah if the person doesn't know this about you? So, truth is, in retrospect, I don't know if it would have affected our marriage if she had to know, but I thought if she would have found that afterwards, then it probably would have slipped, then it wouldn't have made her so happy that I didn't tell her. But it didn't affect her. It didn't matter, right? It wasn't, you know, she was going to live happily ever after with me, so I told and nothing happened. So you tell, little by little, and she tells little by little, and you get to know each other better, and then you make sure that when the time comes, you know everything you have to know about her, and she knows everything she has to know about you, and then you can be happily married. Okay? So now let's get back to our original issue, which was making a girl feel good in a date. And this I feel most strongly about. And it actually drives me up a wall, sends me through the roof. Cellular phones. My sweetest friends, when you're sitting and learning Torah, there is nothing in the world that is more important than the Daf Gemara in front of you. Who could possibly call you that's more important than the Daf Gemara that's in front of you? When you're reading a Daf Gemara, you're reading Dvar Hashem. God is speaking to you. Who's more important than God? I once heard a story. Somebody got a call from Moshe Feinstein. And he said, I'll speak to him after Shir. I wouldn't have done that, by the way. But he said, I'll speak to him after Shir. And they said, how do you not do Moshe Feinstein? He said, why am I answering Moshe Feinstein's telephone call? Because of Kavod HaTorah. Is it Kavod HaTorah to leave the whole Shir to answer the phone call? It's a Bizayin HaTorah. So I'll call Moshe Feinstein back later. There is nothing when you learn. I don't understand how a person can have a cell. You're sitting and you're learning, have a cell phone. I've had chavrusas like that. It drives me nuts. I remember I once had a chavrusa. He was here for the summer. And he didn't have his cell phone with him when he was learning with me. And I complimented him. I said, this is unbelievable. We're just learning and we're not interrupted by cell phones. And then a few minutes later, he had his hat sitting there. and his hat started to ring. Anyone ever seen Get Smart? Right? So there his hat, like the ringing of the shoe would ring, you pick it up, right? So all of a sudden, it turns out that he did have his phone, he was just hiding it under his hat. So his hat started to ring, and there went that. When you're on the phone, when you're learning Torah, there's nothing more important. When you're sitting at home with your parents, or with your wife, Kol Shekhen, your wife, there is nobody more, who could possibly be on the phone that's more important than your wife? Who? God? God doesn't usually call you on the telephone. Who is more important? So in my house, if I'm talking to my wife, and the phone rings, I'm saying, who could, maybe it's my other wife. If it was my other wife, then maybe, I don't have any other wife. And even if it was my other wife, but right now with this wife, what sort of business is this? If you're on a date with a girl, there is nothing in the world more important than this girl. I'm saying, you're on a date with a girl, for me, I'm sitting in a room with yeshiva boys. So I'm going to say this in the yeshiva language. You should be learning. There's nothing more. Why are you out with her? Because right now, meeting this girl is more important than learning, because you have to find a wife. So if you're doing something that's your mevatel Talmud Torah for, and your mevatel, you know, could be, I'm saying, forget about Talmud Torah. It could be like it's a playoff game. It's a big playoff game, and you went out with her anyway, right? You're missing a big playoff game. Why? Because you want to go out with this, at least lady got my job. You want to go out with this girl. So who can be on the phone that's more important than her? Can anyone answer that question? Now, if you're going to tell me, then maybe some of you probably have Jewish mothers, and your mothers are all nervous. So you can say to your mother, you know, Mom, I'm going out on a date with a girl, and you have nothing to worry about. I'm just going to turn off my phone so we don't get interrupted. You know, don't worry, we're not going to go anywhere dangerous, whatever it might be. If it's 3 in the morning, I understand it. You want to get a phone call. But you see, I wish I never had the opportunity, unfortunately. My date cell phones weren't in. But my dream is to have gone out on a date with a girl, and all of a sudden she answers her cell phone, and she's busy talking, and then all of a sudden I disappear. And then she says afterwards, she asks, where did he go? She calls up the next day. Finally, I said, well, she answered the phone. Why doesn't she marry the person who called her? Because he's obviously more important. Now, obviously, I wouldn't have done that, but I always think it would be very funny. I really think that's emes la'amito. If the person on the phone is more important, then for goodness sakes, marry them. She's going to say, how can I marry her? She's my roommate in Stern. What's the answer? The answer is the same. Marry your roommate in Stern. But you're obviously not interested in me. Your roommate in Stern, you can speak to all the time. And if you wanted to be married to your roommate in Stern, you wouldn't be going out with me. So therefore, when you're on a date with a girl, don't even bring your cell phone. Now, if you think you're going to have to make a phone call, whatever it might be, so have your phone, put it in, let's say you have a car, put it in the glove compartment?
Yeah.
Has anyone here ever actually seen a glove in the glove compartment? Okay, so, oh, you have. Oh, in Montreal, it's cold. I was thinking of a baseball glove. Everything I think is baseball. Okay. So you have a righty's glove and a lefty glove. So, still gets cold in Montreal. Global warming and everything. So, put it in the glove compartment and have it off. And then, you know, at 2:30 in the morning, you get stuck in the middle of the Van Wyck Expressway. And you call up AAA. So, okay, it's good to have a phone for that. Or it's good, you know, or let's say you're really late, you know, she wants to call, or you want to call, you know, a parent so that they shouldn't worry. That's something else. You're going out on a really good date, so you say, listen, you know, I'm having the time of my life, but I don't want my mother to worry. It's a good reason. So then already, if you think that's going to happen, you take the phone, you put it away, you have it off. Now, don't have it on and on record. How do you say that? Vibrate it. You know why? Because I know that when I'm with somebody, I can't, that's the only time I can ever talk to anybody is on Shabbos. Because I know during the week that when I talk to somebody, there's like a 40-50% chance that their pocket's going to start vibrating. They might answer, they might not answer. But one thing is for sure, they're not thinking about me anymore. You're not thinking about me, you're thinking about what's going on in your pocket. So a lot of times you're going to have people take the phone out of their pocket and check who it is. And they're like, oh, what do they want? And sometimes they actually answer, which I think is super rude, which I do want to talk about. And then the third thing is that they don't even answer, but they're thinking, who's in my pocket? I'm not exciting anymore. I'm not mysterious. They know that they're talking to me. But who is calling me in my pocket? What are the how many possibilities are there? Give me a number. 6 billion. Right? It could be anybody on earth. Right now, I'm thinking to Herman. Herman, no, no. Could be the President of the United States. It could be could be a Nobel Peace Prize winner. It could be, you know, the President of the King of Spain is inviting me for a ceremony. You know, it could be Rahul Yashiv, you know, wants to ask me a Shaila. It could be. The possibilities are endless. Whereas talking to me isn't so interesting. So I don't think you should even have it on. You're completely 100% focused on this girl, and nothing, you should even tell her. You should even tell her. There was a Rebbe in Yeshiva, and he said you can make a conversation and a date. And he said that when you're on a date, your complete 100% undivided attention should be focused on the girl and nothing else. And I know, I can't give a shiur, I can't have a chavrusa, I can't have a conversation with anybody because their pockets are always vibrating. Now, let's say you do have the phone, and let's say you answer, so I think it's a serious pagami derech. She's standing, this happened to me by the way 1,000 times. And I'm not even a girl, I don't even consider myself hypersensitive at all. As a matter of fact, on the male sensitivity scale, I consider myself less sensitive than the average. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right, I don't know. But I do know that I never once felt good when I was standing and talking to somebody, and his phone goes off, and he starts having a 10-minute conversation, and I'm standing there. And I'm just in. And I'm just standing around waiting, and what am I supposed to be doing with myself? So usually in those situations, I've already learned, you know, I'm going to be waiting, and oh, yeah, yeah, hey. And what is the important conversation that they're interrupting for? Yeah. Okay. All right, order 2 pizzas. Yeah, and some Coke. Okay. I'm sitting here at the Kotel, right? A guy's in the middle of davening, right? And all of a sudden, you see a guy. Have you ever seen this at the Kotel? A guy's in the middle of, and he's mamish like this. He's shaking. He's shuckling, mamish. He's vibrating more than a phone, right? All of a sudden, he stops everything. And then you hear him say, Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll meet you, yeah. Order 2 pieces of schnitzel. Yeah, I like it with a lot of ketchup. Make sure they put... Excuse me, like how can? But that's what people do. When it comes to a person's cell phone, I really think that it's a sickness. I think it's a serious lack of derech eretz also. But I really like. Don't you have a sense of priorities? Right now, you're davening to the Rabbanu Shalom. See, it's the thing. No. Maybe they answer. Maybe Hashem's already answering. It's Hashem on the phone saying, "I accept your tefillah." But you know from experience that when you daven at the Kotel and your phone rings, it's usually not Hashem. So therefore, please, I urge you, when you're on a date with a girl, if you bring a phone, that you have it off and you only use it if it's absolutely necessary. Okay. And then, if you really want to speak to somebody else because you can't take being with the girl, so make it a short day. Say, it was really wonderful being with you, and wish her all the best, and give her bracha and hatzlacha, and go on your happy way. But when you're with her, she's the only person that exists. You know, can you imagine a guy go, man, would you ever do this, by the way, anybody in this room? You're in a meeting with Rabina, it's like just the two of you, it's like a pacha. It's usually just not the two of you. The two of you and Rav Hanan or Tzvi or somebody. It's like a rabbi's meeting, just the rabbis and you. And in the middle of the meeting, your phone goes off, right? And you just start talking. You know, Rabina's in the middle of talking to you and this and that, everything's going. And he just starts, it's unheard of. Why? He'd be terrible. He'd destroy you. I'm saying it would be all over. You'd be, for the rest of your life, you'd be black. Nobody would ever look at you again. You'd be black. You had such chutzpah that you were talking to the Rosh Yeshiva. And all of a sudden you start. So I think it's a bigger chutzpah to do it to a Rosh Yeshiva. 100%. But I also think it's a chutzpah to do it to a girl. So when you're out with a girl, you're only with a girl. And please, let me add, nothing to do with anything. When you're out with a boy, focus on the boy. What do you have to talk to somebody there for when you can talk to somebody right here? You don't have to worry about what's going on the rest of... Unless there's only one exception. If you're out with your friends or whatever it is, and your mother calls or your father, there's already a shiloh d'oraisa, it's keep it up the aim, right? You can say to them, if you think, you know, really that your parents are really looking for you, whatever it is, you can say, I'm so sorry, I really, really want to be with you and I'm enjoying this, but it's my mother, my father, and I really have to speak to them, it'll take me a minute, and then you quickly say, Mom, you know, I'll speak to you afterwards, everything is great, and you get off the phone. But in general, I really don't think it's... I think it's a lack of derech eretz, and I think it's pekiyah. Now, a lot of people, they give the girl the feeling that they're very busy. Very busy. Imagine you called me up, and you said, you know, I want to talk. Yeah, did you call me up? I said, okay, let's see. Tuesday, I'm busy. I do my hair. Can't you tell? Wednesday, I play bridge with my friends. Thursday, I'm going out on a tour with my family. Friday, it's already Shabbos. How about 2 weeks from Wednesday? I have the 4 to 4:15 slot in the morning. It's the only time. How do you feel? Do you feel important? Wow, I'm really mash of you. You're really hush of God. Look, I'm making time for you. Right? 2.5 weeks from now for 15 minutes at a time when you anyway want to be sleeping. You probably get more from that maybe than talking to me. So, how do you feel? Let's say you say to me, I want to talk to you, and I put my whole life aside, and I say, ooh, I want to talk to you also. And I just say, okay, alright, mamish, right now I can't because, you know, it's mincha shkias in 10 minutes, and I've noticed it really bothers me, by the way, I'm like a little bit offended, okay? But the sun never waits for me. I'm always like, if you would just wait another 10 minutes, I can daven mincha later, but it doesn't. It sets, and then you can't daven mincha. So I daven mincha now, and then right after mincha. The first available time. Anyway, that's what I try to do. When someone wants me, so I try to really make the first available time. Why? For two reasons. Because I think it's the right thing to do, A. And B, it makes them feel that they're important. You want to feel, they're going to make time for me. Right, let's say Rabina says, I want to have a meeting with you. I want to have a meeting with you. And you say, no, I'm sorry, Rabin, I'm sorry. Then I shear, then I go to the gym, and okay, maybe, you know, if you're promising me good chicken soup, I'll be at your house at 12 o'clock next Sunday night. We'll eat some of the Shabbos left. You don't say that. What happens? I know myself. I know that, you know, not only is my Rosh Hashiva, he's also my boss. So when my boss calls me in for a meeting, he says to me, you know, Rabbi Chaim, I have to speak to you. You know what I say to him? I say, whenever the Rav says, I'll be there. That's simple. And it says in the Gemara, it says in the Chazal, it's not a Gemara, it's a Medrash, it's quoted by the Rishis Chacham, it's not clear what the source is, but he says that two questions they're going to ask you when you get up to Shemayim. One is, did you make God king over you? And the other question they're going to ask you is, did you make other people king over you? Himlachtas chavercha alecha. Did you make him king? Making somebody king means, when can, alright, whatever, I'll try to make time for you. Like, the first available moment I have, I'm there. What does available mean? Available means, you know, within the realm of reason. Obviously, if you, you know, have a previous obligation, you don't, you know, send the other guy, you know, you don't ignore the other person, but you really try to be available as soon as possible, and that makes the person feel important. So it's the same thing. Sometimes a guy's going out with a girl, and he says, when can you go out? Well, this week I have finals, next week I have this, 2 weeks I have this, and then until they finally find a few minutes. So I don't think that makes a person feel good. I think that makes a person feel sort of rejected, and I'm not so important, and they're just trying to find a few minutes for me, you know, in between things. So obviously you have a life, and obviously I hope you'll have seder, starim, and you'll have college, and you'll have tests, and you'll have papers, but try your best to give her the feeling, and to sincerely try to make time as soon as possible that you shouldn't have to wait. And in that way, again, we were talking about Benan Lachavero. That's another aspect of Benan Lachavero you have to be careful about. And then when you went out once, you know, so don't say, okay, I'll meet you again in a month and a half. Try to make it as soon as possible. And she also might be busy. But I always say there's no such thing as not having time. Everybody has 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everybody has time. Being busy is a function of priorities. Whatever's more important for me, I make time for. What's the less important for me? I don't make time for. So lo aleinu, someone needs an operation. So they go in right away. When I remember once I had to take my kid to the hospital, emergency, he had to have an emergency operation. I was busy. I'm saying it was right in the middle of my night seder. I'm not going to stop my... I don't like to stop night seder for anything. But I, all of a sudden, miraculously, I found time in the middle of my busy schedule. Why? Because it's my son. So just like I found time for... Because that was important enough for me. And if it's important enough for you, a person says, you know, you have time to go to the movies? Some people have time. Why? Because they make it a priority. They want to go to the movies. Some people never have fun. You think Rav Nevitzel has 5-3 minutes to see a movie? No. Because on his priority list, it's about 1 billionth. Like, after he died, he'd go. Like, over his own dead body, he'd go. Right? But it's a matter of making it a priority. If you're going out with girls, you make that your priority. Right now, I'm trying to get married. So she's a priority. Make her feel good is a priority. So I'm going to make time for it. And that's it. And maybe that's a little more important. So instead of, you know, I'm taking a chemistry course. I'm going to be an accountant. But you have to take chemistry. You have to take two sciences. So I'm taking chemistry. So instead of getting an A-, I'll get a B. You got a B. Listen, I know a lot of people who got really bad grades and live very happy lives. You can be a B student and be a happy person. I know that personally, because I know that I was less than a B student in many, many, many cases. And I'm a very happy person, and there are many, many people like that. So don't worry too much. Nobody cares about your grades anyway, especially if you're going to be an accountant. So if you get a little bit of lower, I'm not saying not to do well in school. You do well in school, but you have to have priorities. And the mitzvah of getting married, in my opinion, is a higher priority than you know, the what exact grade you get in a certain paper. Okay. So that's as far as that's concerned. Now, a lot of times after a couple goes out, what happens is that you want to know, she wants to know if you want to go out again. Right? You went out once. You went out to what? No, is he going to go out with me again? So what's the answer? Well, do you want him? So what some people do is they don't want to say no, so they just wait a week. You're not allowed to make a girl wait. There's a halacha like that, a din. You're not allowed, even sadin. Don't hold the judgment. Same thing, don't make her wait. Try to give her an answer as soon as possible, and this way you won't torture her. Because a lot of times girls are very nervous. What is he thinking? What is he? And we're also like that. If you go out with a girl and you don't know, I remember I was like that. When I was like, oh, is it yes or is it no? So you should try to give her an answer as soon as possible. Now, There's it's too bad we don't have more time. But sometimes when you go out on a date, it happens, not sometimes, often, that the boy offends the girl. I'm talking to you guys, the girl can also offend the guy. But sometimes you offend. Did you mean to offend her? Were you malicious? Usually not. Usually the person didn't have malicious intent, but nevertheless, he offended her. Now, there's an interesting chazal. Chazal say about Chana and Penina, that Penina had lots of children, and Chana, and she used to torment Chana. They were co-wives, right, with Elkanah at the beginning of Shmuel. She would torment her, make her feel bad. She would torment Chana and say, oh, my kids, and today I had to change diapers, and my kid did something so cute. And this way, she made Chana feel even more rotten that she was childless. Why did she do this? What were her intentions? So that Chana would pray, she would daven harder, and it worked. Chana did daven harder. Do you know what else happened? Who knows? Penina's children, as Chana's children were born, Penina's children were dying. Right? So, as for Chaim Shmuel Levitz, I don't understand. Penina was L'shem Shamayim. She only did it for Chana's best. So his answer is that when you're talking about Ben Adam L'Chavero, about people's feelings, you're dealing with fire. So if a person's a good guy and he davens three times a day and he's, you know, he gives a lot of tzedakah and he sticks his hand into a fire, what's going to happen? He's going to get burned. Why? Because that's nature. The nature of fire is that it burns. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says that the nature of Ben Adam L'Chavero is that it burns. If you hurt somebody else's feelings, you're going to get burned. Lo alein. So therefore, you have to be just here, just a few hours ago. I was talking to a boy, and he said he went out with a girl, and you know, and they had broken up, and then they were talking, and you know, he was thinking of going out with her again, and she said to him, you hurt me so deeply last time. And you should know, this guy's the sweet, I can't imagine him hurting a fly. And he really didn't mean to. But she said, you hurt me so deeply last time. I'm like, I don't know if I can get over it. I don't know, I'm feeling so much pain from it still. And this happened a long, long time ago. I know a story, I just saw the guy before. We were sitting once at lunch in Yeshiva many years ago, and he told the story about a guy who was going out with a girl, and I think they broke off an engagement. I think it was an engagement. And then afterwards he broke it off. Afterwards he married somebody else, and his wife kept miscarrying. They couldn't have children. He didn't know what it was. Finally, I think he went to a rav, and the rav said, did you hurt, if you go to big rabbana, they'll always tell you to make sure you didn't hurt any girl's feelings in the past. He said, did you hurt anybody? Was she mochel you? No, not yet. So he went back to her and asked for mechila, and she said, I want to tell you something. Every day since you broke up with me, I've been davening to Hashem that you shouldn't have children. She said. When somebody is hurt, when somebody is feeling searing pain, that's what they'll do. They'll daven to the Rabbanu Shalom that the person, and you don't even need the tefillas. It doesn't matter. Just the very fact, you make a girl cry. Girls cry because of what boys do to them. You torture a girl. You make a girl cry. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Torah, he says, I don't like to see my daughters crying. He's talking about Almanas and Yisomim, but it's anybody who's in a vulnerable situation. Hashem doesn't like to see people crying. So if you make her cry, if you hurt her feelings, I cannot express to you how serious the Aveira is. If you look, we don't have time now. If you look in Sichas Musar, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, and Toshin Lamed Beis, and Maimer Beis, you can look it up, you can read it yourself. There he gives various examples from Chazal, how people didn't mean to hurt the other person's feelings, and yet, it was a very severe punishment, right? The story about the guy used to come home every Erev Yom Kippur, and then one year he came back, he wasn't home yet, he would go learn the whole year, and then come back Erev Yom Kippur. And his wife was waiting and waiting and waiting, and he forgot, he got so involved in the sugya, and then, you know, when she started to cry, and then what did Hashem do? Hashem opened up the roof he was sitting in, and he fell and he died. So Chaim Shmuel Levitz said, now how is she going to feel? All the time she's crying, she wants her husband to come home, now he's dead, so what's it going to help? So what's the answer? The answer is that's the nature of hurting somebody else. The nature is that if you hurt somebody else, it burns and it's fire. So we have to be very, very careful of that. So basically we've covered actually going out on a date. Now we haven't covered it, but we've discussed a lot of aspects. And the Yisrael Gadol is, the one underlying principle is you're going out, whether or not you're going to marry her, make sure she feels good, make sure she has a nice time, make sure you say nice things to her and about her, make sure she's comfortable, you know, make sure that that you make her feel good about herself, etc. And obviously in the Surah Meira, which you talked about in the last 2 minutes, do everything you can. It might not always work because people are very sensitive, but do everything you can not to hurt her feelings. And if you're not sure what the right thing to say or to do is, it's good to consult with somebody else. And that's chus will Mirtz Hashem not be over Chas Hashem any averos. And Mirtz Hashem next week, if God gives us all life, and you guys are still interested, which I hope you are, hopefully we will get to actual marriage. We covered the first three shiur, and we covered more or less dating. And then hopefully next week we'll get to actually being married, and we'll discuss that a little bit. Okay, go ahead. We'll leave you to do a